So as we are singing that last song together, and by the way, I mean, you all just sound amazing today. I love to stop singing and just to listen to your voices, this group together celebrating and praising Jesus. It humbles me every week. But I wanted to ask Miss Carol, do you think that you could teach me to do the down the key if I work really? Yeah. I think we all know the answer to that one. Teresa especially. Back in 2019, when we were in the process of, at the time, what we didn't know, but was actually God bringing us to Pastor Ledrock Community Church, we had been to Grand Portage to the great rendezvous and reenactment there. And since we were so close to Ely and the Boundary Waters, we couldn't just leave northern Minnesota and go home. So we came to Ely to go on a canoe trip into the Boundary Waters, and had a camper with us, needed a place to park it. So we ended up parking it here. And now I am stuck as your pastor forever, having to do awesome birthday parties and things like that. But anyway, we were considering buying a bigger canoe at the time. And so we rented from Paragus a North Star Northwind 20 canoe. If you know anything about canoes, that's a big boat, 20 and a half feet long, great big wide beam, lots and lots of boat, very wide in the bow and stern, lots and lots of volume. And we outfitted it with four seats so that our two little munchkins, Caleb and Isabel, could have their own seats. Teresa and I, bow and stern, we packed for a week's worth of goodies, enough s'mores to have s'mores, breakfast, lunch, supper, midnight snack, lots of s'mores and all the goodies that you have on a canoe trip. And so the bottom line is this very large boat with four people in it and a lot of gear with a lot of food was heavy. Heavy load, great big load. And I realized right away that this thing doesn't just take off from the stoplight very quickly. But once you got this great big boat with all this volume, by the way, phenomenal boat. We ended up buying the 18, the next size smaller, to be our multi-kiddo, you know, tripping boat. We didn't need the 20. But it was funny to watch me solo it from one of the middle seats. And then the two little ones got to go out and paddle it because it was a rental. We didn't care if they ran into rocks. But it was funny. It was funny to watch these little ones paddling this 20 and a half foot boat. But the point was, I realized right away when I dug my paddle in, this thing doesn't get going very easy. However, when I stopped paddling, it kept going for a while. But it's much, much easier when you have a load like that. You get it up to speed, get going. Now, just simply maintain it. Relax a little bit, sit back, but keep paddling, keep going. And it's so much easier to keep a large load like that going once you've gotten it going. There's a saying in canoeing, once you get the boat up and moving, you can keep it going with a broomstick. You don't need a great big paddle to keep going, but you need to simply keep going. I always tell the kids, if you want to turn around and ask questions or whatever, just keep paddling. Don't stop paddling. Talk away if you want. I can remember one canoe trip, wonderful trip, one of the last days, incredibly windy, very, very windy. In fact, probably the windiest I'd ever been in, especially with a fairly heavily loaded canoe. And it happened to be primarily, mostly a tailwind. And so when we were paddling in these large, and I mean, at times they were like 3 foot waves. We had to keep paddling. When you're out in the lake and you're trying to get to the next portage and you know, by the map, the next lake's going to be better. You'll be more protected. So, you know, you do things that you need to do to get off the big water. And so when we're in these huge waves like that, the one thing that you cannot stop doing is paddling. You have to keep that boat moving. If you would stop paddling a canoe in wind and waves, next thing, you're going to be tossed around. Then you're going to be at the bottom of a swell. The next one's going to come right over bow, stern, or the gunnels, and you're going to have a flooded boat, probably upset. Nothing good comes from stopping paddling when things are difficult. When you have a large load, a heavy load, and you get going, It's much easier to keep it going. We're in the midst of a sermon series that we've called, or I've called, Paddle Properly. And we've talked quite a bit about paddling. And the idea is that you need the right paddle and the right size. You need to use it correctly. And it makes everything, paddling-wise, so much better when we simply do the right thing with the right equipment. So, well, today is kind of a continuation of that. And we're going to look at perpetually paddling properly, keeping going once we get started. And if you've been around, you know that the paddling is really prayer. We're talking about prayer in our lives and praying properly and using the Lord's Prayer as nothing, a model and an example for us to follow to know how to pray effectively and purposefully and all of those things. And so in life, you and I, we've encountered many waves, many strong winds, and times when we can't quit praying, we can't give up, we can't stop. We've started to pray. It's so much easier just to continue to pray to the God of heaven and earth than it is to stop and then maybe start again some other time in the future. So today we're looking at a neat passage of scripture from the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're in the 5th chapter. Some of these verses will be very memorable to you. And if you've been intimidated by memorizing scripture, today is your lucky day. You're going to get to memorize a couple different verses, maybe three. If you've had enough coffee and you're really awake, you can memorize three different verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 16, is where we will pick up. But to quickly set this, well, the verse that we're, I guess, that really set all of this in motion is 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, that says, pray continually. Pray constantly. And so we're going to be thinking about that idea of praying constantly, but we have to always look at scripture in light of other scripture and within its own context, understanding what's going on in that passage. Why does God's word tell us to pray constantly? That seems kind of a big ask. How are we supposed to spend all day every day on our knees with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? So we're looking at it in its context. 1 Thessalonians, interesting letter. Paul had a very successful ministry in Thessalonica. He had shared the gospel. People had been saved. Many, both Jews and Greeks, had put their faith in Jesus. Their lives had been changed. They had formed a church and were doing life together, and they fell upon heavy persecution. Lots and lots of the early church fell under heavy persecution and caused churches to break up. They spread. They took the gospel with them. They shared the gospel. More people got saved. They planted more churches, fell under more persecution. They spread further. The gospel was spread by persecution. Well, Paul fell under heavy persecution. In fact, he had to leave Thessalonica, left for some time, and he was a little bit worried about what was happening with his loved church. By the way, he loved all of his churches. Loved church, what's going on in Thessalonica? And he heard a report back that the church in Thessalonica was doing well, that they were doing great. And he wrote this letter to continue to encourage them to keep on doing well, to keep on doing great, reminding them always that there's a need to cling to the truth and all the doctrine that has to be we all need to be reminded of continually. But anyway, interesting letter, fun letter in Second Thessalonians, whole story there. But today we're in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 22. Allow me to read it to you. Follow along if you have a copy of God's word. Verse 16, very familiar verse. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be here in this warm and dry and beautiful place, gathered here for the sole purpose of praising and worshiping you, lifting your name up high. Lord, I thank you for your word, for scripture. I thank you for this message that you have given me and laid on my heart from Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would take your word in this message and speak it through me this morning. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would come and prepare each of our hearts to hear your word and understand you and what you've told us to do, and then allow us to do it, that you be much glorified in us. In Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church said, amen. The idea behind today's message is that every disciple can pray properly. We can perpetually pray properly by following this formula that's laid out here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you remember from back a couple weeks ago when I shared at the beginning of this whole sermon series, it really was stemmed from the last episode of this second season of The Chosen, when the disciples had been bickering and arguing and all sorts of things, and finally one of them asked Jesus, and Jesus kind of ignored him, and finally one of them said, Jesus, would you please teach us how to pray? And to watch his countenance, this actor portraying Jesus, to watch him change and say, now you're asking the right question. It really impacted me. And he explained to the disciples, he said, prayer aligns your heart and your mind. Prayer opens up communication with the God of the universe, because your heart and your mind are lined and tuned and ready to hear from him. And our hearts are critical. Our hearts are crucial to everything. Of course, to our physical health, but also to our spiritual health. Our hearts are the core of everything. By the way, missed you guys last week. We had a wonderful trip back to Illinois to go back to see all of our family and finally do Christmas with them. And it was really great to just go back and see, both, you know, parents and everybody, but especially our kids, our oldest two, Gabe, who lives in Henry, Illinois, and then Emily now is in school down in St. Louis, Missouri. And it was really fun to spend time with them and see them again. And I remember when Gabe, he's 19 now, when he was just a wee little one. If you've seen Gabe lately, he is not a wee little one anymore. My word, I think he's growing an inch a day. And anyway, when he was a little guy, we would get water to drink with lemon, if they had lemon available in a restaurant. And he always wanted the lemon rinds and what was left after you squeeze it into your water cup. Little bitty guy. Oh, lemon, please, I want the lemon. So we'd slide him the lemon, and he would not only just kind of suck on it a little bit, he would eat the rind and everything. But it was funny to watch him, especially at the beginning, because here's this cute little boy sitting there, and he takes the thing, and he sucks on it, and then he just pucker. Oh, and you think he's going to get, and then he goes right back in for seconds. And he would just pucker, and then he wants the next lemon, and so on and so forth, puckering from the sourness. He loves sour things, Sour Patch Kids or whatever, and lemons and all of that. But it was funny to watch him pucker up, and he kept doing it. Do you know anybody? Don't raise your hand or say anything out loud. Do you know anyone that has a constant pucker on their face? That just kind of, don't say anything, don't elbow your spouse. Do you know anyone that has a constant pucker on their face like they just sucked on a lemon right out of your glass of water? Tell them to spit it out. Spit it out and get rid of it. Verses 16 to 18 really, really fit together. All scripture fits together. This passage fits together. 16, 17, and 18 really, really fit together. And so if we're going to look at how do we pray constantly, how do we pray constantly? We have to also back up and look at how it is that we are to pray constantly. And verse 16 sets the stage for all of it, for perpetually praying properly. We start with verse 16, rejoice always. Spit out that sour lemon that you've been sucking on for far too long. Get rid of the pucker and rejoice always. Rejoice always, really? Wow, I thought praying constantly was a big ask. What about rejoicing always? Constantly? Like, really, are we supposed to do that? Can we do that? Let me tell you, joy is such a mark. Joy is such a characteristic of a Christian life. Joy is an absolute discerning, describing mark of a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Joy comes not from our circumstances, not from the fact that we just lost a dear loved one, or our job, or we don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. Joy doesn't come from our circumstances. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Joy is a gift from God, the creator of heaven and earth. He gives believers, true born-again believers, he gives us joy in our lives no matter the circumstances that we live in. One of the things about joy, if you've got a lemon in your mouth and you want to spit it out, one of the things about joy is that you don't have to work at it. You don't have to work harder at it and try to be better at joy. Simply live in joy. Reside in joy. Don't try to be joyful. I think maybe if we try, the harder we try, maybe the more difficult it is, because we see our circumstances too much through our flesh. Don't try hard. Live in joy. Reside in joy. The fruit of the Spirit. I go back to it and quote it all the time because it's such a good reminder for me to know what it's like to be a true born-again believer. We're filled with the God of the universe, and he gives us gifts and talents. And it's called love. And the second one is joy and peace in our lives and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness. And he gives us self-control. Who wouldn't like more peace and patience and kindness? Who wouldn't like to have more love and joy in our lives? Our job as believers is to get out of the way and let the Spirit do it in us. Live in it. Don't try harder. Let God do it, because he is much better at it than we are. Have you ever noticed that misery loves company? Have you heard that saying? Those folks sucking on lemons, they like other folks that suck on lemons to hang around them too, because lemon suckers like other lemon suckers. Misery loves company. And here's the truth, the cold hard truth. Let this one sink in. The world desperately wants to rob your joy. The enemy desperately wants to rob your joy. He wants to rob your love. He wants to rob your peace and your patience. He wants to rob your kindness and goodness and your gentleness and your faithfulness and your self-control. The world does not want you to be joyful. They want you to focus on everything negative that they can ever scrounge up, whether it's true or not. The world wants you to think the sky is falling and you have no hope and you need to hate everyone because they're not like you. The world doesn't want you to be joyful, and God's word says rejoice always. Never stop being joyful. And by the way, pray constantly. Don't start and stop praying. Start praying and continue to pray. Doesn't have to be as hard as it was to get going. But once you get going, keep it up. Keep it open. Keep going. Perpetually pray properly. How do you and I do that? Sounds good. I'd like to do that, Pastor. I'd like to pray properly, perpetually, keep it going. Pray with joy. Pray to the God of the universe with joy in your heart. And as verse 18 says, with thankfulness, with thanksgiving, despite your circumstances. Doesn't matter what you're going to be praying for in a moment. Come to the God of heaven and earth that created you with joy. And keep the line of communication open and pray with thankfulness. There's a saying I like to say, maybe it's not new to me, I'm sure, Be prayed up in life. Be prayed up in life. Don't come to church expecting me and the worship team to give you your spiritual nourishment for the week or the month or the year. Come to worship prayed up, spiritually nourished from your life during the week. Come to church prayed up, full of the Spirit, full of joy and thankfulness, and prayed up, and watch how much better the sermon is. Engage in worship, and you'll be blown away when you show up full rather than empty. It changes everything. Don't go to that tough business meeting spiritually malnourished. Show up prayed up, prepared, having spent much time with God in close and intimate prayer. Be prayed up before that school meeting or that doctor's visit when you think it's going to be bad news. Don't show up starving. Show up full. Be prayed up. Follow the Lord's Prayer. We can memorize that. We can recite that. We can mean it from the bottom of our heart. We can come to God and say, God, you are my Father. You are my Abba, my Daddy. And you're holy and perfect and good, and you're God, and you're on the throne, and you're in heaven, and you are awesome. And I pray that your kingdom would come soon, that all this pain and suffering would be gone. But in the meantime, I want your will to be done in my life as well as all around me, just like it already is in heaven. And by the way, Father, you know my needs greater than me. Just meet them, and may I be thankful and joyful in what you've given me. And by the way, forgive me for my sins. And I know I have to forgive my brothers and sisters and protect me from evil. I know the enemy wants to rob my joy and he wants me to not be thankful. God, speak to me. And by the way, my aunt is really sick. Lord, hear my pleas. Help my aunt through this and fill in your petitions. But be prayed up constantly, following the model for the Lord's Prayer. Pray constantly, pray properly, pray perpetually. And as you and I connect with the God in heaven, as we connect with him, it's so much easier to keep those lines of communication open, to keep them open throughout the day, than to start out in the morning before our feet hit the floor and pray and then stop and maybe try to remember to pray later. Keep the channel on. Keep that radio tuned in to God and just stay open to him. Perpetually pray properly. What the bottom line with that is, on some level, always be attentive to the Spirit. Attentive to God. He's not telling us, Paul is not telling us to get down on our knees and bow our heads and close our eyes. Don't do that. Don't do that when you're at work. Unless you close your door. Don't do that when you're driving down the road. But always be sensitive and listening to God in that still small voice that he so often speaks, not to our ears, but to our hearts, to our souls. Keep that communication open. Keep that huge load of life in the wind and the waves. Keep it going. Keep it moving slowly and steadily toward the Lord. In 18, by the way, you can memorize 16 and 17 before you even leave here. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. 18, not too much harder. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's sad, as I explained a little bit ago, about the world trying to rob our joy, doing everything the world can to rob our joy. It's sad to hear the negativity all around. All over, everywhere, negativity. It sells, I guess, but everybody complains about the negativity, but that they keep watching, and so it keeps selling. And I hear more and more of you telling me, I've just turned off the TV. I can't even do it. I don't do Facebook anymore. It's just negative. And negativity, it's sad to hear the negativity all over. And let me tell you, you digest negativity all the time. You're putting a lemon in your mouth. And you're sucking on it, and you're grabbing another one, and you're putting it in your mouth, and you're keeping that pucker and that sour in your mouth all the time. Negativity, it's contagious, and it spreads, and it's sad. I'm going to be extremely transparent. I did not ask for permission, so I hope I do this with much love and respect. But I'm going to be very transparent about my father real quick. They watch a lot of times. I don't know if they're watching today. Again, I'm going to be, I didn't ask permission. I should have probably, but I'm going to be very honest and respectful. By the way, thank you for your prayers for him. He is basically over the COVID. COVID, he's pretty well good, but he had also previously scheduled an appointment at the Mayo Clinic down in Rochester because he has a severe hernia and some heart issues, and he wanted them to look at what's going on. And so they did some tests, and the heart issues far outweigh the hernia, even though the hernia is severe. The heart issues take radical priority over that. And so he found out on Wednesday, I believe. This week has been a blur. I believe found out on Wednesday that he needs triple bypass surgery. He has three of his main arteries are blocked, 90% at the most, and sometimes 60. Well, all three are 90, plus there's 60s and 40s in other spots in the same major arteries. And so he needs triple bypass, like conventional old school, full-on triple bypass surgery. And when he spoke with me about that, is 82 and looks like he's 39 like me. And very physical, very active. He just retired. He unloaded the entire giant U-Haul basically by himself. Like, he's very, very healthy. Never had surgery. Never really been sick. COVID nearly just destroyed him mentally because he's never been weak before. He's never been sick. And now he gets the news that he needs triple bypass surgery. He was pretty, it was heavy, heavy on him. And he shared with me, did you know, Kurt, that they're going to have to take veins out of my legs and my neck, and they're going to split my whole chest open. They're going to saw my breastbone into two pieces. Did you know they're going to pry me open and work in my heart, and they're going to take my heart off of my body and put me on a machine, and they're going to do all this work, and then they got to sew me back up, and they're going to wire my chest back. I don't like the sound of any of that. And I said, Dad, I hear you. I understand. I know there's a lot of negative things that have happened and brought you to this point. But Dad, look at what God has done in bringing you to the greatest hospital in the world. And by the way, did you know that the greatest surgeon, open heart surgeon in the world, happened to have 15 minutes to visit with my dad the day he got this news and explain to him about how he would work on my father? He would take him as a patient because he's so healthy. Otherwise, he has an amazing possibility of full recovery to do anything he wants in the future. And by the way, doctor says my patients have the quickest recovery. They're on the machine, the shortest of any other. We have a pretty good system going here, and I'll take you. And by the way, we can do you on Tuesday. And so Dad went to bed thinking about the negative, but he woke up in the morning thinking about the positive and thinking about how God had brought him there at just the right time before any damage happened. It brought him to the greatest place with the greatest surgeons and the greatest staff, and everything just fell into place. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, because I know I'll be okay, because clearly your hand is in this situation. We all face the option of looking at the negative. They're going to have to do a very invasive surgery, or we can choose to look at the positive and look at how we can trust God, because he has proven how good he is. We can trust him, or we can think about the negative. Living with joy and living prayed up, perpetually praying properly, makes it much easier in life to be thankful. Thankful for everything, for all things. God works out for our good. It's easier when we're prayed up and full of joy to be thankful no matter the news we get. When we see our doctors, the key is to live in thankfulness. Give thanks in everything. He doesn't say give thanks for everything. We don't have to be thankful that we get to have triple bypass. But we can be thankful to God in the fact that we have to have triple bypass. It's much easier to be thankful that way. Perpetually praying properly continues. And I'll move quicker. Those first three verses just fit together so well. And if we got nothing else from today, those will move us toward Lord Jesus more than nearly anything that we can do. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I got to talk about that for a second. God's will for you and I in Christ Jesus is that we be full of joy, we be prayed up, and we be thankful in all things. That fits together. That is God's will as we pray for God and His will to be manifested in our life. His will begins with His children living with joy, full of prayer, and thankful in all situations. Verse 19. Again, I'll move quickly. Don't stifle the Spirit. Wow, I could do a whole sermon series on this or a sermon on this. Don't stifle the Spirit. That pertains to both church life and personal life as well. When God is moving in the life of a fellow brother, sister, church member, or God is moving in a ministry or a program, and maybe you don't understand it, or quite get it, or like it, or you weren't part of it, and you see it successful, and that kind of hurts, or whatever. When God is moving, the Spirit is moving, do not stifle the Spirit. Do not get in God's way. Never let your personal opinion or what you think get in the way. Do not stifle the Spirit. It happens in church life. It happens in ministry, sadly, because people think I am more important than someone else, and it gets in the way. Do not stifle the Spirit. But boy, let's talk about personally. When we are full of joy and prayed up and living thankful in all situations and in God's will, we can't stifle what God says to us in our prayer time. Don't get in the way of what God wants you to do. Jesus said, go out, make disciples, and teach them to be obedient to me. Be obedient. The Spirit leads us to be obedient to God's voice. What He's telling us, don't then say, oh, God, I hear you, but yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. We don't stifle the Spirit when God's moving in the body of Christ. We don't stifle the Spirit in our own personal lives. Say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. Do anything and everything that you want in me and through me. Don't stifle the Spirit. Live close to the Lord, connected to the Lord, praying perpetually, properly. Verse 20 and 21, don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Don't despise prophecies. Today, the canon of Scripture, Scripture is complete. The Bible is done. God has breathed through human authors His directive, and His Word is now in our hands in the form of the Holy Bible. It's complete. We're not receiving new revelations from God that change Scripture. That is complete. Does God still speak today? Absolutely. But He's not revealing new prophecies, new foretelling of things to come in the future, especially if they would ever be contrary to Scripture. That's a separate issue. The canon of Scripture is closed, but when this was written, that was not the case. This was breathing Scripture as they lived it. They were living the creation of Scripture. Today we are not any longer. But what prophecies he's talking about, don't despise prophecy, is not the foretelling of things to come, but the forthtelling of God's truth. The truth of God's perfect and inerrant word. And the fourth telling is to make clear, to teach God's Scripture, to make it public, to publicly announce and explain the truth of God's Scripture. Don't despise the teaching and the public proclaiming of God's word and the explaining of it. Love and cherish all true biblical teaching and preaching. We do that by Scripture. We observe Scripture through the lens of other Scripture. No Scripture can contradict other Scripture. We can talk more and more about that. We talk about that regularly. Love and cherish all the teaching and preaching of Scripture by Scripture. Your and I's job is to know Scripture that we can recognize false teaching. Our job is to be prayerfully considerate through the power of the Spirit to understand Scripture and what's going on, that when we spot false teaching, we hear false teaching, we can say, yeah, no. Yeah, no, that goes against God's word. We do not agree with that. Understand Scripture, cast off what is bad, and cling to what is right and true and good. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy, but test all things and hold on to what is good through the lens of Scripture. The next verse, stay away from every kind of evil. We could spend some time on this one, but you and I, as followers of Jesus, are to stay away from evil. We're to stay away from false teaching, which is definitely evil. That is not from God. That is absolutely from the enemy. We're to stay away from false teaching and sin. Sin in our life, which is rebellion against God's perfection. Sin is disobedience rather than obedience. Radical obedience. Rebellion, engaging in sin, it breaks the communication line with God. When you and I live a life repeatedly engaging in sin, we stop that huge loaded canoe of life. We stop paddling it through prayer, and it comes to a dead stop in the water. And then at some point, when we can forgive ourselves and ask God to forgive us of our continuing to live in that sin, we can pick up the paddle and work so hard and begin to try to get it moving. And maybe if we're good this time for this day, we can keep it going for a little bit. And then we sin again and the canoe stops because we can't dare go to God considering what we just did. And that large load of life just starts and stops, and it's hard and painful. When you and I engage in sin, I'm not talking about that, just that failure, but engage in sin, we break that communication that open, full-on, perpetual prayer creates. You cannot live in sin and have a deep, Spirit-filled, obedient life as a follower of Jesus. To perpetually pray properly, repent. Repent of your sin. Turn away from that. Whatever that favorite sin is that you've been doing for far too long, turn away. Lay it at the foot of the cross and ask the Lord to just get it gone from your life and grow in your relationship with Him. God is God. He is Father. God the Son spoke everything into existence. Everything that's created was created through Him. And that same God that created the heavens and the earth and the galaxies and all the everything, that same God can and will accomplish all things in our lives, His will, if we persistently and passionately and perpetually pray properly, following this formula that He lays out here in God's Word. Pray with me. Father, thank You for Your Word and for how You so clearly laid out for us how it is that we can not only connect with You, but we can stay connected and just constantly be seeking Your face and Your hand in our lives and just maintain this open relationship and open communication with joy and thankfulness and living in Your Spirit, not blocking You out of our lives and out of our ministry in this world. Lord, thank You that You are so good and so mighty and so powerful. And Lord, I pray for each one here today and listening now and online in the future that You will help all of us to stay more connected, to keep our life moving toward You constantly. And Lord, through that, may You speak into us and mold us and shape us to be more like You, that You are much glorified in our lives. Lord, thank You. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.